Yo, what's up? Welcome to the Shit List, your Patreon exclusive show where I, Blessing Adio A Jr., go online and find a top 10 list and bring it back to Tim, Ma, fucking Geddes, and Barrett Courtney on the ones and twos, and we judge it for your amusement. Today, Tim, on the final Shit List of 2023, I have a classic list for you.
Oh.
Let's talk about the top 10 best Metroidvania games of all time.
Of all time.
Of all time. An oldie but a goodie. Right? A timeless conversation to have here.
Yes. But, I mean, we've never done this before.
I don't think we've ever done this before. Which should make this fun, because I feel like...
What qualifies? That gets complicated.
The first question. Yeah. But then also, is this an easy list to make? Because I feel like Metroidvania is... I feel like for a lot of lists, right? When you talk about the top 10 N64 games, there are ways to get cute, right? Because you can have, like, the hardcore answer, or you can have the top-level answer. I feel like Metroidvanias... I feel like there's almost like just the right answer. Like Super Metroid's on the list.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Castlevania.
Real quick, I need
to
stop you because we're recording this shit list right now. But as we're recording this, Greg and Mike are doing the stream and the chat is up for the stream. And I just see the whole thing just talking shit about me. I don't know what's happening right now.
It happens every now and then. But like when we're doing soccer, I would see it, or like a softball every week. I would see the same thing where like we would play on Thursdays and on Fridays we're doing shit lists. And I would see people talking about like, oh, yeah, that's why the captain sucks or whatever. I'm like, why are we talking shit?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what Mike does.
No.
What Mike does.
God.
You got some cross-pollination for you. Like, somebody's going to listen to this after watching the stream and go, oh, I know exactly what they're talking about.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Anyway, sorry for the interruption there. But no, I'm with you. I feel like that there are a couple obvious answers, right?
Yeah.
Castlevania, Symphony of the Night.
Yes.
Super Metroid.
Yes.
Those are obvious ones. Then you go down a little bit deeper into that. Hollow Knight.
Ooh, yes.
When I say deeper, I just mean like the less like OG, not the classic answer that don't have Metroid or Castlevania.
That's
in
the tough
name.
Thing is like, are Castlevania, Symphony of the Night, and Metroid, Super Metroid the only games? And like Metroid Prime, I think is in there.
Oh, see, that is interesting. For some reason, I wouldn't think of it that way, which is very stupid. But no, you're right. There is that. I think once you get into 3D, it gets a little complicated. Like, is Arkham Asylum a Metroidvania? Like, and I don't think it will be, even though, like, I don't think it makes the list.
But, like, Metroid Prime has to, right?
I mean, I don't know that it has to. It does deserve it. But, like, I feel like what they're talking about here, I think, invokes the more 2D elements. But we'll see.
I'm going to write it down.
Write down Batman Arkham Asylum, too.
See, I don't think Arkham Asylum is going to make it. But exactly for what Tim's talking about. Like, I think the reason Metroid Prime makes it is because it has Metroid in the title.
Well, so going through the Metroids, I feel like there are arguments to be made for multiple of them. Super Metroid is the, it'll be on the list no matter what. Metroid 1 doesn't really deserve it, I don't think, despite being, like, kind of the originator. Then we move on. Metroid Fusion's incredible. Metroid Zero Mission, which is the remake of 1, is one of my favorites. I just don't see them making it on the list.
Well,
and Metroid 2, definitely not. Dread, when was this list made?
Oh, this list was made December 9th, 2023.
Oh, shit.
A couple weeks ago.
Dread should be on this list.
I can see Dread making it.
But, like, you put more than one Metroid on here.
I think you could.
Or put more than two. Because, like, let's say if we go Super Metroid, right? For sure, we can lock that in. Do you then go, all right, do we want to put Dread or Super Metroid or both on? Or, sorry, not Super Metroid. Dread or Metroid Prime?
I think the three are different enough that it could make it because they represent different eras. In the same way we talk about Zelda, and it's like Link to the Past and Ocarina and Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
I think it's the same type of thing there.
Okay.
That might be a little dramatic with Dread, but, like, I don't know Dread makes the list. I know Super Metroid does.
I'm going to write Dread. I think... Yeah, Super Metroid is a for sure. I think then it becomes between Prime and Dread for what ends up taking a little... Because I think three
is
too many.
I don't think it's an either or. I think it's Prime, but like Dread is the question for me.
Let's go on with the list. Because I think as we start to list more, right, I think that'll then determine, is this list too strong to even include three Metroids?
Well, let's break down Castlevania, right?
Yeah.
Because there are... Symphony of the Night will be there. Will any other one be there? And I feel like that's where it really comes into the taste of the person making the list. Because the GBA has three. And Circle of the Moon, and I forgot the other one's names. Harmony of Dissonance. And like all that shit. And then the DS has three, I want to say, as well.
Okay.
But I don't know which ones people would necessarily shout out of those.
That's the tough thing, is I think Metroid is a bit more visible in terms of, oh, these are the titles, whereas Castlevania, it's Symphony of the Night, and then everything else is kind of like...
People have their favorites.
Yeah, people have
the
their favorites. Because, like, classic Castlevania, like, the first Castlevania games, those weren't Metroid?
No. Like, Symphony of the Night was the first one to really do that, at least. Yeah, and then there was a Rondo of Blood, which Castlevania gets complicated because of what was exclusive to Japan or exclusive in different territories for a long time. And then eventually they like made it their way over here, but like not even till the last 10 years, some of them.
Ori.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I would put Ori 2.
I would also put it. Well, I've not played Ori 1, if I'm being honest.
Ori 1 is amazing, but I think Ori 2 as a game is just so
Ori
much better.
Ori 2 is so good.
Ori 1 has the beginning, which is just heartbreakingly good.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like overall Ori 2 is really, really, really fantastic. It's funny. Ori 2 is a game that has grown on me. I loved it to begin with, but the more removed we get from it, the more I realize how much that game did well that I don't think I gave enough credit at the time in the sense of its skill set, abilities, mobility of the character. Like, it's really, really good.
Mm. I want to shout out Guacamelee. I don't think it makes the list.
I think it does.
I was going to bring up Guacamelee as well.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance. I'm thinking Guacamelee.
It's understated, but I think Guacamelee 2 should be the one that makes it on the list. I know more people played one, so that'd be the more likely. But I think 2 is the similar to what you're saying of Ori. I don't know if it's like leagues better than the first one, but I do think Guacamelee 2 is the stronger game.
I like Guacamelee a lot. I think if it makes it on the list, it's probably lower on the list.
Yeah, and that's all I'm asking.
And that comes back, and it comes back to what we're talking about with Metroid, where I'm like, I love Guacamelee. Am I putting Guacamelee up over either Super Metroid or Metroid Prime or Dread? Probably not. No, like, but that's the tough thing is is the writer going to make that call? Where they are like, well, Guacamelee is different enough to where it deserves a spot, whereas 3 Metroids.
Yeah. And it is interesting, too, where you like, this is the problem with the genres is that like sometimes they make perfect sense. And then oftentimes as time goes on, they make less and less and less sense where you look at something like Dead Cells and like it's clearly not it's a roguelike, but it's also like, but really, what's the difference at the end of the day? And I don't see them putting Dead Cells on the list, but this is where the ones we named, I'm fairly confident in.
Yeah.
That at least a couple of them will be there. Once you take a step from those, I think that there's more of a conversation to be
had. I think the tough thing, because I could see a conversation or an argument that where you try to put a Dead Cells or a Rogue Legacy onto the list because there is direct lineage of the inspiration they're taking from a Castlevania. But I think once you get into the procedural generation of the maps, then, in my opinion, that's not a Metroidvania. Yeah, like, in my opinion, that's a different genre. But I could see it. Like, I could see why you would maybe, you know, push it there. Because when you're talking about the abilities, when you're talking about, like, yeah, you get an ability to then explore a new thing, right? Like, those elements do kind of make a Metroidvania. But also, for me, it's map exploration at the same time.
Yeah. Let's get into it. Unless you guys have...
I have one that's not going to make the list because no one played it last year, but Islets, which was the indie game that I played, where it's a Metroidvania, but the whole kind of like overarching thing that you're doing is you're slow... Like the Metroidvania map is all splintered and disconnected, and over the course of the game, you're slowly bringing parts of the map together to then be able to fully explore places that you couldn't get to before because the map was all split up. Mm. It's a really fucking cool game. The way they structure it is really cool, so I just want to shout it out.
I'm sure there's like lots that we're leaving on the table. I want to shout out Axiom Verge. I don't know if it's going to make
the list. Oh, dude, I think it should.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Axiom Verge is awesome, and I do think that it was high profile enough as an indie game for what it is that it could definitely make the list here. I want to give a shout out to Disney Illusion Island, which I really think is a very, very, very special Metroidvania. And I keep making this point, but it is such a great introduction to the genre. But like, I feel like that's even lessening the quality of the game itself. It is really good.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's get into it. Again, this is the top 10 best Metroidvanias of all time, is written, listed by The Gamer. This is Zachary Wiggs, published December 9th, 2023. At number 10, we got Supraland, which I wouldn't have been able to tell you was a Metroidvania.
I've never even heard of this.
This is a game that was on that came to Xbox Game Pass like a couple years ago, and I had people in my like my mentions saying, "Oh, you should check this game out." So I booted it up once, but I never got far in it. But it's like a first-person shooter type of thing with a really weird, unique art style to it. But I didn't know it was Metroidvania. Here they say Supraland is a game that really pushes the boundaries of the genres it finds itself in. And it's a Metroidvania, but one that doesn't follow the side-scrolling ideals of the games that paved the way for it. There's a childish nature to the game, thanks to the setting, but that doesn't mean it isn't fun for adults to get into. It's an interesting mix of combat, puzzle solving, and a bit of platforming here and there.
Right. Batman Arkham Asylum is going to be on this list.
Yeah. Here's where we're starting.
Yeah. At this rate, I'm like, Donkey Kong 64 might make it on this list.
What?
It's kind of a Metroidvania. It's not, but like, no. You know, you get new abilities and to get dude. I'm
no, that's a 3D platform.
Let me stretch. At number nine,
I mean, Mega Man, I feel like. Mega Man is, X is like, it's not, but I mean, that's where the genre stuff gets kind of weird.
Yeah. Number nine, I'm mad we didn't mention. Number nine is Bloodstained Ritual of the Night.
Yeah.
Mm. Which, this is a tough one because I don't know where people land on it. It's like one of those things either. That was, you know, was a Kickstarter thing. It's, you know, made from the people that made Castlevania, right? And like, I think I always conflate it with how people reacted to Mighty Number Nine, where everybody was like, this game sucks. But like, Bloodstained, do people love Bloodstained? Did it come through? Did it do the job?
I think it did. It's just like, you know, I think the reality of the audience of an actual Castlevania, Metroidvania type thing is not as high as like the 90s would want you to think it is.
I feel that. That makes sense.
When this one came out back in 2019. I also wonder if we're thinking of, like, was this a game that Andy tried and he just like wasn't feeling as well?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, this one that might have also had like an early access situation.
It definitely did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like maybe like the impact of
we
it
were
lessened.
Involved in the like announcement of this game.
Oh,
like,
really?
Back in the earliest, like, it was 2015. Colin was like the host of the like announcement of
this vaguely remember
project.
This. Yeah. I mean, I also remember there was like another Bloodstained that was before Ritual of the Night that like people were like, oh, this is actually really good. That surprised people.
It was like a
curse
pre-order bonus or something,
curse
or a Kickstarter bonus that was like the more 8-bit version, or not version, but like it was a totally separate game. People ended up being really into it.
Yeah, Bloodstained Curse of the Moon was what it was, and it was like the more lo-fi version. But then the full thing came out, and turns out people liked it. At least this gamer writer liked it. Number eight, Axiom Verge.
Yeah.
There you go.
Let's go.
I never played
dude.
Axiom Verge. I know. I mainly know it because I remember listening to the podcast where Nick would talk about it.
Yeah, Nick loved it. I mean, dude, Thomas Happ, awesome guy. This was one of those. This is one of the games that's like the stories of. It was made by one person. Everything, and it's like, man, what a special situation that was. Music's great. Game's awesome. Shout out to Axiom Verge.
Shout out
to
Axiom Verge. At number seven, we got Ori and the Blind Forest.
The first one, okay.
I think we might see both on this list then.
I don't think
we'll see Will the Wisp is fucking sick.
It is, man. Dude, Ori's beautiful.
It's a hot looking game.
Like I know that there's problems with what I'm about to say, but I'm sad that we're not getting an Ori 3. Like I'm looking at that other game that Moon Studios is making. I'm like,
how dare you? That game looks good.
Not for me. I don't know.
Dang.
But this looks, I want more of this.
Tim, do you think that maybe Ori and the Will of the Wisps, number one, have like that, like,
it doesn't deserve that.
It doesn't deserve it.
No. And I love it, but like, I mean, it's not better than Symphony of the Night or Super Metroid.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, when we're talking about Super Metroid and Symphony of the Night being number one, there's also Hollow Knight out there.
Exactly.
And the Hollow Knight sickos might push that to number one. Yeah. At number six, we got Guacamelee. Let's fucking go. You know what? Yeah.
So, hey, I'm already giving this two thumbs up right now. Like, let's see where they take
this.
This
is a great list so far.
Two is the one that should be on the list, but I know not as many people played it. It came out in a very busy year. But what a damn treasure this game is. Such a fun fighting combat system that also mixes how you traverse through like the entire kind of map. A lot of like just really
a lot of good
references.
Yeah, like a lot of
humor.
Good like personality that shines through this game, and a lot of
art
good
style
humor.
Off the charts.
Art style is fantastic. Yeah, unique gimmick, right? Like a fucking wrestling, like luchadorian Metroidvania. Like a lot of great ideas that really came through in the end product and actually had quality to it. So.
And like here's the thing again for Guacamelee too. Like one of the biggest payoffs, because a lot of like internet. Like criticism that came for them was like the referential humor.
Yeah, the memes were too much.
The memes were too much, and then there's an entire section in Guacamelee 2, which is like one of the funniest sections, where your character gets lost in like this multiverse thing, and one of the multiverses is just a universe where it's just all of the internet comments about Guacamelee 1.
Oh, that's really funny.
And it's so fucking good. It's a great payoff. But I liked that shit. Like when I saw Strong Bad in the first game as like a poster, I was like, yo.
Hell yeah.
They got the vibes. They know what they're doing.
Okay, well, that was number six. Moving on to number five, we got Dead Cells. This is one where it's like, all right,
there you go.
I'm not mad at it, dude. I'm a little mad at it because I do think it's a different enough thing.
But what's funny though is like everything. I didn't want to like call you out on it, but everything you just said about Dead Cells and why it's different than a Metroidvania. It sounds like you were just describing Metroidvania of like exploring the map and stuff. Like Dead Cells, I think, is different than some of the other potential. Like I wouldn't call Hades.
No,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
but Dead Cells because of its perspective and because of how the map is laid out, I see it. I get it. It's procedurally generated and it's different, but...
Mm-hmm. I want to read what they have to say. They say, a Metroidvania with gameplay mechanics that will definitely test your skills. Few games in the genre offer a challenge quite like Dead Cells does. It hasn't been long since the series first came out, but it's since risen to the top of the list for Metroidvania games. The setting is great, the art is beautiful but simple, and death being a constant just makes you want to try that much harder to go farther and farther each playthrough. Fans of the genre should definitely check out this game if they haven't already. So they don't really grapple with like is or is not. But I think the bail that I'll give it is that we talk about like... We've been talking about roguelites for a while, right? Because roguelites are only getting more and more popular. They're getting like Hades or like God of War Valhalla or like Returnal. All those games they're roguelites, but they're also different genres at the same time, yeah. Right? Like Returnal is a third-person action shooter. God of War Valhalla is a third-person action game, right? It's God of War. Hades is a dungeon crawler. And so like I could accept the argument that Dead Cells is a Metroidvania that is also a roguelite.
That's what it is.
And like
you just nailed it.
I think the one thing that I'll still hold on to with the Metroidvania aspect is that I think for me, a Metroidvania has a static map where it is, I am uncovered, like I am going to a thing, but going, oh, I can't get here without an ability, and then having like go and find it and come back. Dead Cells, it's been a while since I've actually like dug into Dead Cells. I think Dead Cells has a little bit of that, if I remember correctly.
I would say that Dead Cells does have a bit more map awareness, even if a lot of it is procedural and like it changes up. It's like, I do think that there's a bit more of a static sense of location and place that feels as similar to a Metroidvania, even if it like the ordering of it's different, like the vibe of it stays the same, which isn't true necessarily for some of the other things. So,
all right. That was number five. Moving on to number four, we got Blasphemous.
Oh.
I've not played much of Blasphemous, but I've heard very, very good things. I don't even think I knew enough though to even know that this was a Metroidvania. I thought it was just like a 2D action game. But I think I saw, was it Bear, is Andy playing Blasphemous?
Andy's in love with it. Yeah,
Blasphemous 2 is what he's been playing.
I've seen gameplay of it. It looks incredible.
Yeah, and I know people from GameSpot and Giant Bomb have been like really digging the second one as well. A lot of like Catholic guilt type of shit that's in this, and like just like the story in the world that's going on, and it's like really fucked up and weird. But yeah,
all right.
Don't know much about it, so I can't comment.
So we're down to the top three.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think we know what it is.
But do we? Because we've not gotten to Metroid, right?
I think we get Super Metroid. I think we get Symphony of the Night, and I think we get Hollow Knight.
So you don't think we get Metroid Prime or Metroid Dread?
Mm-mm.
Or Batman Arkham Asylum.
All right. What order do you think we get them in?
I think Hollow Knight's number one.
Mm-hmm. I think Castlevania Symphony of the Night's going to be number one. Just based off of the things we got so far.
Mm.
The fact that Dead Cells is on here. The fact that Bloodstained is on here. This is a Castlevania sicko.
Yeah, but this is also a like indie sicko.
Yeah.
You're right.
So I could see Hollow Knight, then Castlevania, then Super Metroid.
That'd be my bet.
Yeah, I think Super Metroid's number three. All right, moving on to number three. We got Hollow Knight.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
What if there's a Super Metroid sicko, you know?
I mean, shit.
I mean, I find it tough to believe based on these choices, but we're about to see. Because at number two, we got Castlevania. Now it just says Castlevania. Let's see. You can't talk about Metroidvanias without talking about half of the series that made the genre. Don't do this.
No,
don't do this. Don't do this.
This is one of the craziest final act twists of all time
on
shows.
Don't do this.
Is number one just going to be Metroid?
Don't do this.
No.
This is like saying Iron Man is the best Marvel movie because it was the first one.
But no, they're not talking about the first one. I think they're talking about the franchise.
Yeah.
Castlevania has been around since the days of arcade cabinets, and it's been a big name gaming to the point of branching to multiple platforms. It doesn't really matter where or how you jump into the Castlevania universe. As long as you,
it does. It really matters, actually. Like really, 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 really matters.
Don't do this. All right.
Please, if number one's just Metroid, I swear to God.
I think number one might be just Metroid. At number one, we got just Metroid. No! Why?
You had the bag and you fumbled you it so hard.
Don't cop out. Don't go the franchise route. Choose one.
Oh,
we're invested.
My God.
Choose one.
Holy hell.
Wow.
Halfway through this list, I gave it two thumbs up. I said it was theirs to lose. I didn't expect them to lose it.
We were on the verge of two thumbs up. I think now I might have to give one thumbs down.
I mean, straight up, I think that's a thumbs down. Down. Man.
Like, you have, I mean,
because if you're going to go Ori, just say both Ori games. If you're going to go Guacamelee, honestly, say go, but like, you committed to the others.
Oh, this
you
is
had, you had, oh man, you had all the material, you had all the pieces there.
Oh.
But yeah, like I got a little tolerance for the cop out of yeah, we're gonna go for the full franchise, especially for the top two choices. It feels like maybe like a random thing on the list, maybe, but for the top two and the top two important choices, oh man,
what
no, I can't abide by it.
To end the year,
that I can't abide
a,
by
oh,
it.
That was what a ride. Last minute.
The swerve.
Didn't like that,
ladies and gentlemen. What do you think of this? Do you think it's a valid answer to go with the full franchises? What are some of your favorite Metroidvanias? Let us know in the comments below. Until next time, this has been your final shit list of the year. I've been Blessing. That's been Tim Geddes. That's been Barrett Courtney on the ones and twos. It's been our pleasure to serve you.